Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Drive Time with Mary Wilson on RTE Radio 1.
Now, across RTE last week, our programming focused on the global climate crisis. Our reporter Della Kilroy brought us a series of reports examining the impact of climate change in three different regions. For her final report, Della has been examining how climate change is affecting India.
India is among countries most vulnerable to climate change, with very large numbers of poor people who rely on natural resources and rainfall to survive. In the last 2 years, as many as 2,400 Indians lost their lives to extreme weather events like floods and cyclones, and these events are increasing in both frequency and intensity. So over a relatively short period of time, it's become hotter, drier, and their monsoon season has also been affected. Laura Tenenbaum is a former NASA advisor and physical science professor. She's been writing about some of the changes they've seen this year.
Well, it started with record-breaking heat waves in India, especially during the month of May. 11 of India's 15 warmest years have occurred since 2004. And just this year in Delhi, in June, there was the hottest day ever recorded. So that reached 48 degrees. Then in 2019, we also saw a late monsoon. Not only late starting, but late finishing. So 2019 was the most delayed withdrawal of the monsoon that's ever been recorded. And also record-breaking in 2019, you saw between August and September, the highest rainfall ever recorded in India. There was over 560 extreme rainfall events just in this 1 year. So that impacts people. I mean, there's flooding, you know, you can imagine 25 centimeters of rain within 24 hours. That affects every aspect of people's lives.
And India is at risk from rising sea levels.
That's right. A recent study by Climate Central found that climate change could put three times more people at risk of coastal flooding. This is by 2050 than previously thought. And the majority of those at risk are in developing countries across Asia. So, for example, even with moderate reductions in greenhouse gas emissions, large parts of Mumbai could be prone to coastal flooding by 2050. And on top of this, by 2020, it's thought that pressure on India's water, air, soil and forests will become the highest in the world. Now, I've been talking about this with Professor John Sweeney. He's a climatologist and I spoke to him about the factors affecting India.
We're seeing, I think, in monsoon Asia, the effects of the warming ocean. We're seeing also the interaction between that and the upper air, which is the trigger for the breaking of the monsoon. And that's a problem, of course, for flooding, especially in those countries where there has been a tendency to build on floodplains. Similar problems, of course, to what we've seen in Ireland. We have this double whammy of heat plus pollution. India also is highly dependent on coal, but a lot of the pollution in the Indian cities comes from things like small-scale brickworks, you know, which cause a lot of low-level particulates to be blown into the cities. There will be risks down the road which will result in loss of life in terms of heat waves, in terms of flooding, in terms of coastal inundation in those very densely populated parts of India and China in the future. Population movements and climate refugees are likely to emerge from in the years ahead. If we're concerned about what's happening in the Mediterranean, and if we consider that that may be contributed to partly by climate changes in places like Syria, then we should really be concerned about what may happen down the road in these very populous countries, which are even more exposed to those kinds of risks.
Professor John Sweeney there. Della, what's been the estimated economic cost to India? It's a developing nation.
Well, climate affects labour, productivity, water availability and the agricultural sector, which employs half of India's total workforce. A recent Stanford study suggests that India's economy is now 31% smaller than it would have been in the absence of global warming. On top of this, India racks up healthcare costs and productivity losses from pollution of as much as 8.5% of GDP. And we've seen in the last month there's been severe smog causing health risks in Delhi. So while India has one of the lowest greenhouse gas emitters per capita, still the third largest emitter just because it is such a big population.
And you've been looking as well at the possible impact on mortality rates if temperatures continue to rise. What's the picture? What's expected?
Well, a new report by the Climate Impact Lab found that if greenhouse gas emissions continue to grow, this is at current rates, India will see a rapid increase in extremely hot days, leading to a spike in deaths. I spoke to Amir Jina. He's an environmental economist and founding member of the Climate Impact Lab.
So when we look at what happens in India by 2100, thinking of an emission scenario where the world continues on its current kind of rate of emission of CO2, India stands to lose about 1.5 million lives a year. If you think about the death rate from that, it's roughly similar to what India is currently experiencing from all infectious diseases. Climate change becomes a really big public health priority for them by the end of the century.
What are the risks?
So looking at people whose systems might be stressed in some other way, so people with weaker hearts, older people, younger kids, the temperatures do there is it exacerbates existing conditions. It puts a lot of stress on your circulatory system to try and cool down. And it's just leading to people having heart attacks or strokes or other cardiovascular conditions, in addition to all these effects of heat stress and heat stroke.
India has signed up to the Paris Climate Agreement, but as a developing nation, you found that its energy use is projected to double over the next 20 years. What action plan are policymakers taking to reduce carbon emissions?
So India, I think, is one of the most interesting cases in the world at the moment. It is an enormous nation, obviously. They said they were going to cut emissions intensity, and that means for every rupee that they make in their economy, they'll use less energy for it progressively through time. But because their economy is going to grow so much, they're actually committing there to a big increase in emissions. Currently, its income per capita is quite low compared to some of the other big emitters. In fact, the amount of CO2 emitted per person is much lower. It's only about 2 or 3 tons per person. Whereas, you know, in Ireland, it's 13 per person. In the US, it's up at 16 or so. So India has this unique role, which is they need to invest in their energy system to grow, but that's also going to do them more harm than it is for a lot of the other big emitters. And how they resolve that really has implications for the whole world.
And Della, if we move on to look at food insecurity in developing nations, what do we know at this stage about how climate change is impacting famine and hunger levels globally?
Well, last month, NGO Concern, they published their annual Global Hunger Index study measuring hunger rates. Generally, South Asia and sub-Saharan Africa have serious levels of hunger. And overall, the number of people who are undernourished rose from 785 million in 2015 to 822 million last year. The report notes that climate change is a big contributor. And Concern say key UN Sustainable Development Goal of reaching zero hunger by 2030 is now under threat.
What's Ireland's contribution to helping developing nations cope with the impact of climate change? How much do we spend? How much do we give them?
So the Department of Foreign Affairs shared some figures with me this week. They say that last year, the government spent around 34 million euro through various different funds to help some of the least developed countries struggling with the impact of climate change. Last month, the government also pledged $16 million to the Green Climate Fund, and this is over the next 4 years. And this fund is the main multilateral channel where richer countries can support poor countries to tackle the climate crisis. But even though this figure doubles the amount pledged in the last round of funding, NGO Oxfam say they need to contribute over 5 times this amount to pay a fair share. This is based, they say, on Ireland's responsibility for causing the climate crisis and the size of its economy.
And that's the final part of Della's series. You can catch up on all the previous reports and podcasts on our website.